This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
That there's so much more that God wants to do for you, and so much more that He wants you to have if you'll just ask. And I'll tell you ahead of time, you don't deserve it. But that's the point. We don't deserve it, but we get what Jesus deserves. Okay, this weekend, I want to talk to you about what must I do to please God. I don't know about you, I've kind of gotten over it now because God taught me a lot about it, but I spent a lot of my years as a Christian being afraid that I wasn't pleasing God. And I don't even know what it was I was afraid I wasn't pleasing Him about. It was just kind of this vague fear that I wasn't pleasing God. A part of it probably came from the way I was raised, because my father was very hard to please and it was very easy to make angry. And so I always kind of had this nagging fear that God was mad at me. And so the first thing I want to tell you tonight is some good news, is God is not mad at you. See, you're not as happy as you should be about that. I think a lot of us, we don't have the understanding of how God feels about us and how generous He is with forgiveness and mercy and kindness toward us, and how much God loves us. And it's much easier to please God than what you might think. And so I'm going to share with you what the Bible says about pleasing God. What must you do to please God? Has that ever been a question that you've thought, you know, you want to do, kind of a halfway afraid you're not pleasing God, and I wonder if, you know, have I done enough? Have I read enough? Have I prayed enough? You know, we're always thinking if we do enough, then God will be pleased. But the whole thing is, it's not about our doing. It's about what He's done. And what He wants us to do is believe what He's done, not try to do something to get Him to love us, but to believe in what He has already done. In the Bible, you can read a couple different reports. Some reports say there's 7,000 promises in here. Some say 5, but I'm going to take 7. 7,000. And God just wants us to believe it. Can you imagine how your life would change if you believed all 7,000 of the promises in here and really believed what the Bible said about you? Some of those scriptures that Ginger read and had you confess, just that one, that I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. Man, that's life-changing. To get up every day and not have to be afraid to face the day, and to believe that whatever comes up that day, God will give you the strength to face it and to handle it. We never know for sure what's going to happen on any given day, but God will help us, and He will give us the strength to do what we need to do. But He wants us to believe it. So in Hebrews 11:6, which is our foundation scripture for this series, the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to God. For whoever would come near to God must believe that God exists and that He is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek Him out. Now, we can zip right through that scripture and just pretty much miss everything that it's saying. So we're going to take it apart this weekend in 3 different messages. Without faith, it's impossible to believe God. He wants us to believe Him, and He wants us to believe that He exists, that He is, and not just that He's off somewhere else, but He is with us all the time in everything that we do. always, that you cannot hide from God. There's nowhere that you can go and get away from him, because he is the great I am. Not I will be, or I used to be, but I am. And God wants to be involved in everything in our life. Things that you would think he wouldn't care about and doesn't want to be involved in, if we would just invite him into those things, we would get help from him that we're doing without, just because we won't ask. In James 4:2, it says very plainly, you have not because you ask not. Very simple. You have not because you ask not. And I'm just telling every one of you that there's so much more that God wants to do for you, and so much more that he wants you to have if you'll just ask. And I'll tell you ahead of time, you don't deserve it. But that's the point. We don't deserve it, but we get what Jesus deserves. We're inheritors, co-inheritors with Christ. And everything that he bought and paid for with his blood, we get if we will ask. If we'll just ask in faith. Amen? I don't want to pick on anybody in particular, but this young man here in this blue shirt, I just keep thinking, God wants to do some things for you. I don't know what it is he wants to do for you, but I feel very strongly that you need to just start being bold in your asking. I mean, be bolder in your prayers than you ever have before. The Bible tells us to come boldly to the throne of God's grace. I hate what I call just prayers. And they go like this. Well, God, if you'll just do this, and if you'll just do that. You know what just means? Barely enough to get by. And God's a lot bigger than that. We don't need to say, well, if you'll just do this. No, you say, God, do everything that you possibly can. You know how I pray? God, give me everything that I can handle and still keep you first in my life. I always want God to be first. I don't want so much money that it would pull me away from God. I don't want so many things that it would pull me away from God. But we serve a big God. And Jesus paid a big price for us to have wonderful, big lives. Not just barely get by lives, but you have to ask, and you have to ask boldly. In Hebrews 4:15 and 16, it says, we have a high priest who understands our weaknesses and our infirmities, because he has been tempted just like we have, yet he never sinned. Therefore, because he understands, come boldly to the throne. Come on. Come boldly to the throne. Even though he understands your weakness and your... Come boldly to the throne that you might receive mercy and grace in plenty of time to meet your need. The best time to pray is when you've been bad. Amen. And we tend to shrink away from God. And that's when we need to go boldly and say, I know that I don't deserve for you to do this for me, but your word tells me to pray boldly, and so I'm going to do it in faith. How many of you think your lives could change a whole lot if maybe you'd start doing more of that? Amen? I have a feeling that the devil's getting mad tonight. Believe that God exists, and boy, I love this part. I'm going to teach on each one of these, not all of them tonight, but he is the rewarder. Wow, I love that. The Bible has so much to say about the rewards that we have coming. Jesus is coming back with rewards for works that you have done with a pure motive. Now, we're not rewarded for works that we do to get something or to be seen or to be noticed or to try to buy God. But anything that you do because you love God and you love people, there's a reward that's going to come. I cannot imagine what God could come up with for rewards. But I can tell you, I've had a lot of it in my own life. I went through a lot as a child, was mistreated by a lot of different people, but I'll tell you what, God knows how to make it up to you. God knows how to pay you back. Amen. Faith defined, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope. Do you know what hope is? A lot of people don't have any idea what hope is. Hope is not just, well, I hope, but I don't know. Maybe, I hope so, but you never know. Now, hope, the Bible word hope, means the expectation that something good is about to happen to you. That's what hope is. To get up every day and say, something good is going to happen to me today. Amen. And something good is going to happen through me today. When the Bible tells us to wait on God, it's that same word. It says to wait expectantly. If I told you that I would come to your house Sunday for dinner, and that I would be there at 1 o'clock, at 1 o'clock, now probably starting about 10 to 1, you'd be. Because you would be in hope, excited, anxious for me to get there. Well, if we can feel that way about a person who said they'd come to dinner, how should we feel about a God who said he'll show up and meet all of our needs and take care of us and strengthen us and comfort us? Amen? When you come to the point where you can believe that God is with you all the time and wants to be involved in everything you do, it changes your whole relationship with him. And back in 1976, some of you may remember there was a real move of the Holy Spirit back in the 70s and the 80s, and people all over the world were being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And being closer to God than ever before. And the day that I was filled with the Spirit, I was coming home from work in my car. And I had an expectation that God was going to do something in my life. I didn't know what. And I was even praying that day, and I said, I don't know what you're going to do, but I know you're going to do something in my life. It was like I had that gift of faith. God, I just know you're going to do something in my life. And all of a sudden, I mean, the Holy Spirit fell on me, and I can honestly tell you I've never been the same since then. But that was a Friday, and by the way, let me tell you, you don't have to have that kind of experience to be close to God. God meets us in different ways. But I bowled on Friday nights, and that was a Friday, bowled in a league, and I was not bowling good that night at all. And I wasn't used to hearing God talk to me, but one of the things that happened after I was filled with the Spirit is I started hearing God's voice. I started hearing him speak to me, not an audible voice, but that still small voice inside of me, which sometimes can sound like your own voice, but it's God speaking to you. Or sometimes just hearing God just comes as a knowing. You don't even know how you know, but you know that God spoke to you. You know that he said something to you. And I mean, just as clear, I heard God say, well, why don't you ask me to help you bowl? And I said, well, you don't care about that. Now, come on, there's a lesson here. See, we think all God cares about is these big spiritual things. You know, our prayer life and going to church and how much of the Bible we read. But the thing is he cares about you and every single thing that you do. And there is nothing that you cannot ask God to get involved in your life. Amen. Come on, did you hear me? I call it doing life with God. Everything you do. You drive in traffic with him. You go to the grocery store with him. You clean your house with him. You talk with him. You listen for him. You tell him what hurts you, what bothers you. You tell him when you need to be comforted. Just talk to God all day. Draw as close to him as you possibly can. Let's just read this scripture, John, Hebrews 11:6 again. I love it. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Whoever would come near to God must believe that he exists and that he is the rewarder of those who, big word coming up here, earnestly and diligently seek him. Not you just go to church on Sunday morning and sit there half asleep for 45 minutes. That's not diligent. Diligent is working all day on Friday and then coming to a conference to get more of the word. And probably coming back again tomorrow and then maybe even being silly enough to get up and go to church on Sunday morning. Just because you're a word hog. You just love the word. Do you know that your life can change just sitting in this atmosphere? If I don't say one thing that means anything to you, you are in a room full of the anointing of God. Just think about it. Every believer has an anointing. And we don't talk enough about God's anointing. I heard a lot about God's anointing back in the 70s and 80s. And a lot of people don't even know what it is. The anointing of God is so precious. It's his presence and his power in our life. And when God anoints you to do something, it makes it so easy. It's just so easy. And every person that's a believer has an anointing in them. So you're just sitting here with hundreds of anointed people. Come on. It's not like all those cranky people you go to work with or the people with road rage that you can't make one mistake. You're sitting in a room full of people that are full of God's love, full of his power, full of his anointing. And I'll tell you what, you can just get blessed in this atmosphere. The Bible says the anointing of God breaks the yoke of bondage. Amen? And that's what I prayed for this conference, that the anointing would be so strong that yokes would just be broken off of people. All kinds of yokes, all kinds of addictions broken, bondages broken off of you. We're not prisoners. Jesus came to open the prison doors and set the captives free, but some of us have been in prison so long we don't even know how to get out. Amen? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things we do not see. So faith is for the stuff you don't see, but you believe does exist in the spiritual realm, and that as you continue to believe and wait on God, it will make its way to you and manifest in your life at just the right time. Amen. What I've learned to say, and I think it's a good thing, we receive the promises of God by faith and patience, not just faith, but faith and patience. And I can just tell you, when you have asked God to do something for you, and in faith you're waiting, you believe that you have received it, Mark 11 says, and you will get it, but it doesn't say when you will get it. And that's the hard part. There's a beginning and an end, but there's a middle. And it seems to me we spend a lot of time in the middle. But the middle doesn't have to be hard if you stay in faith the whole time you're waiting. And one of the things that I say when I'm waiting on God to do something and I start to get a little discouraged is, God is working. And the Bible says, as long as we're believing, that God is working. So you got a kid in trouble you're praying for, God's working. You got a husband or a wife that's an unbeliever and you're praying, God's working. Come on. You got a big mess in your life that you need a lot of help with, and you're praying about God helping you and showing you what to do, God is working. Come on, we need to be excited that God is working on our behalf. Amen. I mean, just because you can't see it, that's nothing. That's what faith is for. Faith is for the things that you can't see. It's the things that we hope for, we're expecting, we're believing. We don't have them yet. They're not manifested in our life, but they're on their way because we have asked, and it's God's promise. Colossians 1:4 in the Amplified Bible gives a little different definition of faith, but I love it. It says, "For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, which is the leaning of your entire human personality on him in absolute trust and confidence in his power, his wisdom, and his goodness." So it's the leaning of our entire selves on him. And I don't know about you, but I've got a few personality quirks. And so leaning my whole personality on him is a good thing. And I'm hoping he straightens it out. I said today, I wonder if I'll ever get totally patient before Jesus comes back to get me. Dave was trying to fix the back of my hair. I've got a cowlick back there and my hair will part. So he's the hair fixer. He gets his comb out and he's fixing my hair, but he just takes such a long time. Every hair has got to be perfectly in place. And he kept saying, "Be still." And I said, "Dave, I can't wait this long. I don't do waiting well. I wait on God better than I wait on people." So I could use a little of that help with that human personality.
From Joyce's teaching today, we found out that it's much easier to please God than we even may think. That faith is key, and that faith and love are always connected throughout the Bible. You really need both, because love is what fuels and energizes our faith. So today we want to offer you some resources that will help you to learn more about love, to help you grow your faith, and to understand how they work together. We have Joyce's book called Perfect Love. This is a wonderful little paperback that has meant a lot to a lot of people because it teaches teaches us how to love ourselves, how to recognize God's love, and then how to let that pass through us and flow on to other people. And like we said, when that love begins to grow in our life, our faith grows along with it. And if you like puzzles, you're going to enjoy this, because with this offer, we have the Everlasting Love Puzzle. It's beautiful. It has scripture on it, but it's also a puzzle. So as you're putting it together, it can kind of remind you of God's unending love that we're talking about. Now, stay right where you are, and I'll come back to share how you can help hurting people all around the world.
Well, if you had to describe the current state of the world, what words come to mind? Division, strife, anger. Yet in spite of the challenges we face, the love of God has the power to change people's hearts. That's why I'm so excited about my latest book, Loving People Who Are Hard to Love. This book will teach you how to find and give hope to a world in desperate need of God's love.
Loving People Who Are Hard to Love. Order your copy today.
The Joyce Meyer Conference is back.
If you will start crying out to God on a regular basis, I need more of you in my life. You better put on your seatbelt and get ready for the ride of your life.
Coming to Hershey, Pennsylvania, November 4th and 5th with worship by Mac Brock.
The way she connects with people, I mean, you can't help but to leave energized.
For more information and a complete conference schedule, visit joycemeyer.org or call 1-866-SEE-JOYCE.
You know, if you really want to do more to help people all over the world, join together with someone else, because together we can do so much more than any of us can do alone. Partnership with Joyce Meyer Ministries is a fantastic way to become a part of something larger than yourself. You see, we can accomplish things together that change people's lives, change their communities, and change the world. Together, we can face the very apparent needs of the world around us and do something about it. Being a partner means that you commit to join with us so together we can accomplish even more. That means you become a regular financial giver. You become a part of everything that we do. We pray for you. We also send you materials, and your life grows spiritually as you help someone else. So what does your partnership with Joyce Meyer Ministries accomplish? Well, you get to share the gospel, like providing this program that you're watching right now. You get to meet practical needs. You get to help women and girls everywhere. And together, we are helping so many people right here in the United States and around the world. But there's a lot more that needs to be done. If you've never been a partner with us before, if you're not one right now, please join us today. I think you will be amazed at not only the satisfaction, the peace, the joy that it gives you, but one day I really believe you'll have the opportunity to meet some of those people who will say, thank you for touching my life with the love of Christ. So reach out right now and let us know that you would like to become a partner, and let's see what we can do together.
We hope you have enjoyed today's program. Please contact us or visit joycemeyer.org to share your prayer request or partner with us in sharing Christ and loving people all across the globe. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.